Welcome to The Mildly Interesting with Oliver Wilson, the official bedtime podcast of former insomniacs. Tomorrow is Wednesday, November 24th, National Jukebox Day. The first jukebox was invented in 1889 when Louis Glass and William S. Arnold created the first coin-operated player. From the 1930s to the late 1970s, jukeboxes soared in demand and went through many radical changes. In 2010, Touch Tunes, a music corporation that revolutionized the vintage jukeboxes with touch screens and mobile apps that interact with a person's library. The company then proclaimed National Jukebox Day as a national holiday in 2017. Since it occurs on the day before Thanksgiving, people travel to bars and restaurants to listen to their favorite music. You may love a good bar karaoke, but have you ever wondered about the history of the jukebox? Well, I have. And I think you might just find it mildly interesting. Subscribe to The Mildly Interesting on Apple Podcast, Spotify, or wherever fine podcasts are available. We'll be right back. A jukebox is a partially automated music playing device, usually a coin-operated machine, that will play a patron's selection from self-contained media. The classic jukebox has buttons with letters and numbers on them, used to select a specific record. Some may use compact discs instead. Disc changers are similar devices intended for home use, are small enough to fit in a shelf, hold up to hundreds of discs, and allow discs to be easily removed, replaced, and inserted by the user. Coin-operated music boxes and player pianos were the first forms of automated coin-operated musical devices. These devices used paper rolls, metal discs, or metal cylinders to play a musical selection on an actual instrument, or on several instruments enclosed within the device. In the 1890s, these devices were joined by machines that used recordings instead of actual physical instruments. In 1890, Louis Glass and William S. Arnold invented the nickel in the slot phonograph in San Francisco. This was an Edison Class M electric phonograph retrofitted with a device patented under the name of coin-actuated attachment for phonograph. The music was heard via one of four listening tubes. Upon receiving a coin, early designs unlocked the mechanism, allowing the listener to turn a crank that simultaneously wound the spring motor and placed the reproducer's stylus in the starting groove. Frequently, exhibitors would equip many of these machines with listening tubes, acoustic headphones, and array several machines in phonograph parlors, allowing the patron to select between multiple records, each played on its own machine. Some machines even contained carousels and other mechanisms for playing multiple records. Most machines could hold only one musical selection, the automation coming from the ability to play that one selection at will. In 1918, Hobart C. Niblack patented an apparatus that automatically changed records, leading to one of the first selective jukeboxes introduced in 1927 by the Automated Musical Instrument Company, later known as AMI Entertainment Network. In 1928, Justice P. Seberg, who was manufacturing player pianos, combined an electrostatic loudspeaker with a record player that was coin-operated. This audiophone machine was wide and bulky because it had eight separate turntables mounted on a rotating Ferris wheel-like device, allowing patrons to select from eight different records. Later versions of the jukebox included Seberg's selectophone with 10 turntables mounted vertically on a spindle. By maneuvering the tone arm up and down, the customer could select from 10 different records. Many manufacturers produced jukeboxes, including 1890s Wurlitzer, late 1920s Seeberg, 1930s Rockola, whose name is based on the company founder, David Cullen Rockola, Sound Leisure, and Crossley. Greater levels of automation were gradually introduced. As electrical recording and amplification improved, there was increased demand for coin-operated phonographs. The word jukebox came into use in the United States beginning in 1940, apparently derived from the familiar usage juke joint, derived from the Gullah word juke or juge, meaning disorderly, rowdy, or wicked. As it applies to the use of a jukebox, the terms juking verb and juker noun are the correct expressions. Styling progressed from the plain wooden boxes in the early 30s to beautiful light shows with marbleized plastic and color animation in the Wurlitzer 850 Peacock of 1941. But after the United States entered the war, metal and plastic were needed for the war effort. Jukeboxes were considered non-essential, and none were produced until 1946. The 1942 Wurlitzer 950 featured wooden coin chutes to save on metal. At the end of the war, in 1946, jukebox production resumed, and several new companies joined the fray. Jukeboxes started to offer visual attractions, bubbles, waves, and circles of changing color, which came on when a sound was played. Song popularity counters told the machine's owner the number of times each record was played, A and B-sides were generally not distinguished, resulting in popular records remaining while lesser played songs could be replaced. Wall boxes were an essential and profitable part of any jukebox installation. Serving as a remote control, they enabled patrons to select tunes from their table or booth. One example is the Seeberg 3W1, which was introduced in 1949 as a companion to the 100 Selection M100A jukebox. Stereo sound became popular in the early 1960s, and wall boxes of the era were designed with built-in speakers to provide patrons a sample of this latest technology. Initially, jukeboxes playing recorded music were playing music recorded on wax cylinders. In the early part of the 20th century, the shellac 78 revolutions per minute record dominated jukeboxes. In 1950, the Seeberg Corporation introduced an all 45 revolutions per minute vinyl record jukebox. Since the 45s were smaller and lighter, they soon became the dominant jukebox media for the last half of the 20th century. 33 and 1/3 RPM, CDs, and videos on DVDs were all introduced and used in the century's last decades. MP3 downloads and internet-connected media players came in at the start of the 21st century. The jukebox's history has followed the wave of technological improvements in music reproduction and distribution. With its large speaker size, facilitating low frequency, rhythm, reproduction, and large amplifier, the jukebox played sound with higher quality and volume than the listener could in his or her home, sometimes music with a beat, strong bass, made possible by the prominent speakers. While often associated with early rock and roll music, which by at least one source is said to have begun in the mid-1940s, the popularity of jukeboxes extends back much earlier, including classical music, opera, and the swing music era, originating in the 1930s. Jukeboxes were most popular from the 1940s through the mid-1960s, particularly during the 1950s. By the middle of the 1940s, three-quarters of the records produced in America went into jukeboxes. Billboard published a record chart measuring jukebox play during the 1950s, which briefly became a component of the Hot 100. By 1959, the jukebox's popularity had waned to the point where Billboard ceased publishing the chart and stopped collecting jukebox play data. In 1977, the Kinks recorded a song called Jukebox Music for their album Sleepwalker. Models designed and produced in the late 20th century needed more panel space for the increased number of record titles they needed to present for selection, reducing the space available for decoration, leading to less ornate styling in favor of functionality and less maintenance. Two companies still manufacture classically styled jukeboxes: Rockola, based in California, and Sound Leisure, based in Leeds in the UK. Both companies manufacture jukeboxes based on a CD playing mechanism. However, in April 2016, Sound Leisure showed a prototype of a vinyl rocket at the UK Classic Car Show. It stated that it would start production of the 147 inches vinyl selector, 70 records, in the summer of the same year. Since 2018, Orpho, based in Brittany in France, manufactures the original styled Sunflower jukebox with the first 12 inches vinyl record selector, 20 records, on both sides. 1927 Link, valued at $40,000 and extremely rare. 1933 Wurlitzer Debutante, the first jukebox from Wurlitzer. 1940 Gable Kuro, 78 revolutions per minute, the last model of this manufacturer, four or five are known to exist and are valued at $125,000. 1942 Rockola President, only one known to exist and valued at least $150,000. 1942 Rockola Premier, 15 known to exist and valued at $20,000. 1942 Wurlitzer 950-75-90 known to exist and valued at $35,000. 1946 Wurlitzer Model 1015, referred to as the 1015 Bubbler, offered 24 selections. More than 56,000 were sold in less than 2 years, and it is considered a pop culture icon. Designed by Wurlitzer's Paul Fuller. 1947 Rockola 1422, the exterior used for the credit sequences for season 11 of the sitcom Happy Days. 1948 Filburn FP300 Maestro, 78 revolutions per minute. 1949 Seeburg Selecto Matic. 1952 Seeburg M100C, this was the jukebox exterior used in the credit sequences for Happy Days in seasons 1-10. It played up to 50-45 revolutions per minute records, making it a 100 play. It was a very colorful jukebox with chrome glass tubes on the front, mirrors in the display, and rotating animation in the pilasters. 1967 Rockola 434 Concerto, this was the jukebox interior used in the credit sequence for Happy Days' 11th and final season. Like the Seeburg M100C, it played up to 50-45 revolutions per minute records but featured a horizontal playback mechanism unlike the M100C. 2018 Orpho Sunflower Seri. This was the first jukebox playing up to 20-33 revolutions per minute records on both sides using automation technology. Traditional jukeboxes once were an important source of income for record publishers. Jukeboxes received the newest recordings first. They became an important market testing device for new music since they tallied the number of plays for each title. They offered a means for the listener to control the music outside their home before audio technology became portable. They played music on demand without commercials. They also offered the opportunity for high-fidelity listening before home high-fidelity equipment became affordable. The invention of the portable radio in the 1950s and the portable cassette tape deck in the 1960s were key factors in the decline of the jukebox. They enabled people to have their own selection of music with them, wherever they were. Jukeboxes became a dying industry during the 1970s, before being revived somewhat by compact disc jukeboxes during the 1980s and 1990s, followed by digital jukeboxes using the MP3 format. The greater selection and track length flexibility of digital jukeboxes offered more for the listener, with lower space requirements and operating costs making jukeboxes more attractive to establishment owners. While jukeboxes maintain popularity in bars, they have fallen out of favor with what were once their more lucrative locations, restaurants, diners, military barracks, video arcades, and laundromats. In 1995, the United States Postal Service issued a 25-cent stamp commemorating the phonograph jukebox. While the number of traditional jukeboxes has declined, digital jukeboxes, also called social jukebox, have been introduced. Most of the digital jukebox services provide apps to request songs and use further features. Most are focused on the end user and provide the guests of private events to collectively control the music. Aiming at public venues, Touch Tunes comes with a device most similar to a classic jukebox, including a touch display to choose music and payment options. Other services provide both the functionality to control the music at a public venue, set up a private jukebox, or provide wishlists to DJs and radio stations. When we return, musical boxes. A music box, American English, or the musical box, British English, is an automatic musical instrument in a box that produces musical notes by using a set of pins placed on a revolving cylinder or disc to pluck the tuned teeth, or lamella, of a steel comb. The earliest known mechanical musical instruments date back to 9th century Baghdad. In Flanders, in the early 13th century, a bell ringer invented a cylinder with pins that operate cams, which then hit the bells. The popular device best known today as a music box developed from musical snuff boxes of the 18th century and were initially called corionne à musique, French for chimes of music. Some of the more complex boxes also contain a tiny drum and/or bells in addition to the metal comb. The original snuff boxes were tiny containers that could fit into a gentleman's waistcoat pocket. The music boxes could have any size, from a hat box to a large piece of furniture, but most were tabletop specimens. They were usually powered by clockwork and originally produced by artisan watchmakers. For most of the 19th century, the bulk of music box production was concentrated in Switzerland, building upon a strong watchmaking tradition. The first music box factory was opened there in 1815 by Jeremy Recordon and Samuel Junod. There were also a few manufacturers in Bohemia and Germany. By the end of the 19th century, some European makers had opened factories in the United States. The cylinders were usually made of metal and powered by a spring. In some of the costlier models, the cylinders could be removed to change melodies, thanks to an invention by Payard in 1862, which was perfected by Mitat of Geneva in 1879. In some exceptional models, there were four springs to provide continuous play for up to 3 hours. The very first boxes at the end of the 18th century made use of metal discs. The switchover to cylinders seems to have been completed after the Napoleonic Wars. In the last decades of the 19th century, however, mass-produced models such as the Polyphon and others all used interchangeable metal discs instead of cylinders. The cylinder-based machines rapidly became a minority. The term music box is also applied to clockwork devices where a removable metal disc or cylinder was used only in a programming function without producing the sounds directly using pins and a comb. Instead, the cylinder, or disc, worked by actuating bellows and levers which fed and opened pneumatic valves that activated a modified wind instrument or plucked the chords on a modified string instrument. Some devices could do both simultaneously and were often combinations of player pianos and music boxes, such as the orchestrion. Many variations of large music machines were usually built for the affluent of the pre-phonograph 19th century. The Symphonium Company started business in 1885 as the first manufacturers of disc-playing music boxes. Two of the company founders, Gustav Brackhausen and Paul Reisner, left to set up a new firm, Polyphon, in direct competition with their original business and their third partner, Oscar Paul Lockman. Following the original music worker Paul Lockman in 1900, the founding Symphonian business continued until 1909. According to the Victoria Museums in Australia, the Symphonian is notable for the enormous diversity of types, styles, and models produced. No other disc-playing musical box exists in so many varieties. The company also pioneered the use of electric motors. The first model fitted with an electric motor being advertised in 1900. The company moved into the piano orchestrion business and made both disc-operated and barrel-playing models, player pianos, and phonographs. Meanwhile, Polyphon expanded to America, where Brackhausen established the Regina Company. Regina was a spectacular success. It eventually reinvented itself as a maker of vacuums and steam cleaners. In the heyday of the music box, some variations were as tall as a grandfather clock, and all used large interchangeable discs to play different sets of tunes. These were spring-wound and driven, and both had a bell-like sound. The machines were often made in England, Italy, and the US, with additional discs made in Switzerland, Austria, and Prussia. Early jukebox pay versions of them existed in public places. Marsh's Free Museum and Curio Shop in Long Beach, Washington, US, has several still working versions of them on public display. The Musical Museum, Brentford, London, has several machines. The Morris Museum, in Morristown, New Jersey, USA, has a notable collection, including interactive exhibits. In addition to video and audio footage of each piece, the actual instruments are demonstrated for the public daily on a rotational basis. At the end of the 19th century and the beginning of the 20th, most music boxes were gradually replaced by player pianos, which were louder and more versatile and melodious, when kept tuned, and by the more miniature gramophones which had the advantage of playing back voices. Regina produced combinations of these devices. Escalating labor costs increased the price and further reduced volume. Now modern automation is helping to bring music box prices back down. collector's prize surviving music boxes from the 19th century and the early 20th century, and new music boxes being made today in several countries. Inexpensive, small wind-up music box movements, including the cylinder and comb and the spring, that add a bit of music to mass-produced jewelry boxes and novelty items are now produced in countries with low labor costs. Many music box movements are available to the home craft person, locally or through online retailers. A wide range of recordings and videos of historic music boxes is available on the web. 9th century, in Baghdad, Iraq, the Banu Musa brothers, a trio of Persian inventors, produced the earliest known mechanical musical instrument, in this case a hydro-powered organ that played interchangeable cylinders automatically, which they described in their Book of Ingenious Devices. According to Charles B. Fowler, this cylinder with raised pins on the surface remained the basic device to produce and reproduce music mechanically until the second half of the 19th century. Early 13th century, in Flanders, an ingenious bell ringer invents a cylinder with pins that operate cams, which then hit the bells. 1598, Flemish clockmaker Nicolas Valin produces a wall-mounted clock with a pinned barrel playing on multiple tuned bells mounted in the superstructure. The barrel can be programmed, as the pins can be separately placed in the holes provided on the surface of the barrel. 1665, a Ahasuerus from Antille in London makes a table clock with quarter striking and musical work on multiple bells operated by a pinned barrel. These barrels can be changed for those playing different tunes. The 1760s, watches are made in London by James Cox, a pinned drum playing popular tunes on several small bells arranged in a stack. 1772, a watch is made by one Rancenet at Nancy, France, which has a pinned drum playing music not on bells but on tuned steel prongs arranged vertically. 1780, the mechanical singing bird was invented by the Jacquet-Droz brothers, clockmakers from La Chaux-de-Fonds. In 1848, the manufacturing of the singing birds was improved by Blaise Bontemps in his Parisian workshop, to the point where it has remained unchanged to this day. Barrel organs have become more popular. 1796, Antoine Favre Salomon, a clockmaker from Geneva, replaces the stack of bells with a comb with multiple pre-tuned metallic notes to reduce space. Together with a horizontally placed pinned barrel, this produces more varied and complex sounds. These first music boxes are now displayed at the Shanghai Gallery of Antique Music Boxes and Automata in Pudong's Oriental Art Center. Numerous musical objects are produced in greater quantities in Geneva by several makers. 1800, Isaac Daniel Piguet in Geneva produces repeating musical watches with a pinned horizontal disc operating radially arranged, tuned steel teeth. 1811, the first music boxes are produced in Sainte-Croix, an industry that surpasses the watchmaking and lace industries and rapidly brings renown to the town. At this time, the musical box industry represents 10% of Switzerland's export. 1865, Charles Riuge, a watchmaker from the Val de Travers, settles in Sainte-Croix. He is one of many artisans making pocket watches with musical movements of the traditional caliber. 1870, a German inventor creates a music box with discs, allowing an easier and more frequent change of tunes. It is also the golden years of automata. Already known in Egypt, they will be improved to become real works of art. 1877, Thomas Edison invents the phonograph, which has important consequences for the musical box industry, especially around the end of the century. 1892, Gustav Brackhausen, who had been involved with the manufacture of Parlophone disc music boxes in Germany, sails for America to establish the Regina Music Box Company in New Jersey. Regina, whose boxes are renowned among collectors for their tone, became a success, and some 100,000 were sold before sales ceased in 1921. Early 20th century, the invention of the phonograph, the First World War, and the economic crisis in the 20s brought down Sonquoi's main industry and made the luxury music box completely disappear. Between the two world wars, most Swiss companies converted to the manufacture of other products requiring precise mechanical parts. Some made watches, others were eventually responsible for the famous Bolex movie cameras and the Hermes typewriters. Some simply sold out to Reuge. Located near Lake Neuchâtel, Reuge is one of the last Swiss survivors making music boxes of all sizes and shapes, with or without automatons in a modern style with clear acrylic sides to see the mechanical operation. They have branched out widely from their original cylinder offerings over the years and now offer traditional-looking music boxes with removable metal discs for around 1,000 euros, with each disc costing in the neighborhood of 14 euros. The higher-range boxes with removable cylinders and small assorted tables made of fine wood can cost 34,000 euros. They also sell several models of clear acrylic paperweights with a music box movement inside, for a minimum of about 250 euros. They have, however, discontinued the smaller movements. Old Reuge music boxes are worth thousands of dollars, but even so, cannot be compared to the fabulously large and highly complex music boxes produced in 19th century Switzerland by legendary makers such as Nicole Frère or Paillard. Since approximately 2007, Reuge developed a strong business in the world of bespoke, customized pieces for leaders in business and politics. Nidec Sankyo in Japan started up in the aftermath of World War II, using the latest in automation. Modern production methods resulted in reasonable prices, producing company growth. Sankyo started with small movements, introduced 50-note movements by the late 1970s, and in 2006 is producing disc boxes playing discs as large as 16 inches, with two 80-note combs and reminiscent of the mirror, and are also working on a dual-cylinder 100-note movement. Sankyo now offers many music boxes in Japan and supplies movements to many other manufacturers and distributors. Some sell them retail, even online, to hobbyists for as low as 3 euros each. Sankyo Seiki bills itself as the biggest manufacturer of music boxes globally and advertises that it controls 50% of the market. Recently, it has started selling licenses for its musical box tunes to cellular phone companies for use as ringtones. The company is an industrial concern that also makes magnetic and hologram card readers, appliance components, industrial robots, and miniature motors of all kinds. The Porter Music Box Company of Vermont produces steel disc music boxes in several formats. They offer clockwork, spring wound models as well as electric ones. They stand out by their continuing production of discs, with a selection of about 1,000 tunes. The discs can also be played on many antique music boxes bearing the Parlophone and Regina brand names. The small 18-note musical movements are now being made almost exclusively in low labor costs, such as China and Taiwan. Many of these productions are used in mobiles, children's musical toys, and jewelry boxes. In March 2016, The band Wintergarten released a video of their homemade marble machine, which took 14 months to make and played in any key using a 3,000-piece wooden construction fueled by 2,000 marbles. Band member Martin Moline used a hand crank to mobilize the marbles, creating various noises on a vibraphone, and other installed musical elements. In 2019, Tavofi Technology Limited, based in Taiwan, released the first app-controlled mechanical music box called the Muro Box, an abbreviation of Music Robot in a Box. Unlike traditional music boxes, people do not need to punch holes to compose songs on a paper strip music box, and there is no minimum order for making customized music box movement to play a selected song. In Switzerland, coin-operated music boxes, usually capable of playing several tunes, were installed in train stations and amusement parks. Some of the models had a mechanism for automatically changing the metal discs. These were, in a sense, the precursors to jukebox. However, they soon disappeared from their intended venues and were displaced by the jukebox, which could produce a greater variety of sounds and full songs rather than warped fragments. Because most of the coin-operated music boxes were built for rough treatment, such as slapping and kicking by a customer, many large models have survived into the 21st century, despite their relatively low production quantities. They are sought by collectors who have the space for their large cabinets. The bed plate is the relatively heavy metal foundation on which all the other pieces are fastened, usually by screws. The ratchet lever or the wind-up key is used to put the spring motor under tension to wind it up. The spring motor or motors, two or more, can make playing times longer, give anywhere from a few minutes to an hour or more of playing time. The comb is a flat piece of metal with dozens or even hundreds of tuned teeth, or reeds, of different lengths. The cylinder is the programming object, a metallic version of a punched card that, instead of having holes to express a program, is studded with tiny pins at the correct spacing to produce music by displacing the comb's teeth at the correct time. The tines of the comb ring, or sound, as they slip off the pins. The disc in a disc music box plays this function, with pins perpendicular to the playing surface. Multiple tune cylinders have more than one set of pins intertwined on the same cylinder, with, for example, the B pins for a second song lying halfway between the B and C pins of the first song, etc. Offsetting the cylinder slightly relative to the comb brings the different sets of pins into contact with the teeth, playing an alternate music piece. Many modern music boxes will have as many as four sets of pins intertwined, with a mechanism automatically shifting the cylinder from one song or movement to the next. In 1974-1975, German composer Karlheinz Stockhausen composed Tierkreis, a set of 12 pieces on the zodiac signs, for 12 music boxes.